I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi guys, welcome back to the Oversharers podcast. My name is Harder.
I'm Kulthun.
And today we have another brand new episode for you, and we're back with scenarios. So let's go. Oh my God, we went to a digital live show.
Oh, that was amazing. We met quite a few of you there as well. Oh, which was so overwhelming, but just very beautiful at the same time. Like, you guys are so cute, can I just say? Like, so how adorable.
Oh my God, there was this one girl, I think her name was Hafsa, and she was like reenacting an episode that we did. Do you actually remember it?
It's like, you'll have like a specific quote from an episode from like 2 seasons ago. And then there was another girl who said that she used to watch us before we did scenarios. And I was like, wow,
no way.
That is a real fan. If you were watching us before we started scenarios.
Oh my God, we were doing random stuff on YouTube.
We go way back.
It was embarrassing. But yeah, no, I was really overwhelmed, but in a really good way. I was like, oh my God, people actually listen to us.
Yeah. And it was, you know, another thing that I really liked was that I feel very proud and also kind of overwhelmed with the fact that we share fans with the Digital Sisterhood. Like, Digital Sisterhood to us is like what Freshly Grounded is to Muslim men.
Yes, the female version.
Yeah. I just love the way Adar tells stories. Like, she just, I don't know, it's very provocative and also really moving.
Yeah, I think she's a really good storyteller. I think she said, yeah, I think she said in the live show she might be a poet. I don't know, but I can see that.
I can see that too. And also another thing that I noticed from a technical point of view is you can tell that a lot of effort goes into her episodes. Yeah. You can tell that there's a lot of movement in the background, a lot of like sourcing, talent, this, that, the other. Like, you can tell she puts a lot into an episode, which I find really admirable.
I think with us we're a little bit different, but in the sense that I do agree that it's surprising that we have similar fans. But then again, it's kind of understandable.
Well, I mean, she's in the UK, do you know what I mean?
Do you know what I mean?
Our home
Somali
city.
Girls between the ages of 18 to 35.
Yeah, exactly.
Predominantly. But yeah, no, honestly, that just blew my mind. And I really, really enjoyed the event. It was fun. And some of you guys hinted, when is your show coming? So you never know, guys. It might be coming anytime soon. So you've just got to
stay tuned.
Indeed. And be aware when those tickets come out, inshallah. Other things that have happened this week. I watched the whole series of Daisy Jones and the Six on Prime.
Bloody awful book that we tried reading last year.
I actually finished the book. Did you not finish it?
No, it was so dead. I was really trying to. It just felt like, you know, roadies on a tour bus just hanging out.
Hanging on.
You know what I mean? Like, I didn't like it, to be honest.
But I found out that Daisy Jones and the Six is basically based on Fleetwood Mac and Stevie Nicks.
Oh, is it?
And the relationship of their band. Went on a long TikTok dive and I found out, if what happened back then happened now, the drama, it would literally be on tabloids. So why? Basically, it's kind of like filtered in Daisy Jones. Mm. But what really happened is basically Stevie Nicks, who's in a part of Fleetwood Mac, basically was dating this guitarist. I forgot his name. Something Buckingham. Mm. Anyway, they were going out. Then they broke up. So then they started like atting each other through their album songs. And they're all in the same band. So there's this one album called The Rumours. And they each write a song saying like crazy stuff about each other. So then Stevie was like, after a while, she left the group because she was like, I'm not gonna...
It's a bit toxic.
It was mad. And then in 1997, they did a live show, and it was the first time that she sang that song to him. And you could see it, like, they're looking each other in the eyes as she's cussing him out. But on top of that, there was another two bandmates in the group that were dating. And at the same time, imagine there's, like, two double couples in a band, and they all hate each other. And they were all writing songs about hating each other. It was crazy.
It just sounds like Taylor Swift.
It sounds like very toxic, crazy. And in my mind, I was thinking, imagine that happened where social media existed.
Yeah, no, everyone would be, tweeting about it, wouldn't they?
Literally. Oh my God, she said that in the song. So anyway, Daisy Nix, Daisy Jones. Yeah, I thought it was actually a really good show. It was a palate cleanser for when you want to watch something really good.
No way.
I know, Prime is really coming out with these really good, these back-to-back shows, but it's just not hitting the way Netflix does. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, you need to watch Swarm. Swarm is mad. No, I finished it today. So it's basically based on, you know, toxic fandom.
Really?
Yeah. So, like, I think, because based on just, like, some of the imagery and just, you know, like the symbolism, it's based on like the beehive. That's what I think.
Oh, Beyonce.
Yeah. Fans. So there's this one star and there's a girl that's like obsessed with her. So like, it's just so funny because she's so obsessed with her to the point that she goes around unaliving people. So what she says to people is, are you a fan of said artist?
And then she unalives them.
No, but wait, it's really weird because then she'll target them based on a tweet that they wrote about the artist, which was a negative thing. So she goes out and like finds these people and...
Oh God, pause, I'm going to watch it. Someone said to us the other day, don't ruin shows. And I was like...
No, we actually do ruin shows. It's
yeah,
really
we're
bad.
So sorry. Anyway, I'm going to watch Swarm.
I literally like narrated the whole Nocebo plot last week.
No, but I actually enjoyed it because I watched the whole thing.
Wasn't it good?
And I loved it. Did I thought it was amazing. I was like, I would never have discovered this for myself.
It's really creepy, isn't it?
Honestly. Mm-hmm. I would never have gone on Netflix and said, let me go watch that.
No way.
It was so good.
I watched it because I was just bored. I was flicking through and I'd just seen loads of stuff that I've already watched. And I was like, oh, what's this?
Really? See, when I'm on Netflix, I watch my comfort stuff. I just go back to
over and over.
Yeah. Just to keep me motivated. I never like go out and explore something unless it's like you told the story the way that you did.
I don't know. I saw like British drama and I got gassed.
Oh, nice. No, I found it really good. But Swarm, I'm going to check that out this week and see what it says. I'll come back next week, guys.
It's directed by Donald Glover and also Malia Obama.
Malia's dipping into the screenwriting,
I see. Yeah.
Okay. Oh my God, I forgot to tell you what I saw the other day. Let me show you. This had me howling last night. So basically, this woman on Twitter was basically, she went to a restaurant, had nice food with her friends, ate the food. I don't know if you've seen this on Twitter. And then she left a review and basically the review said, so this is what her tweet says. It says, my waiter at a restaurant that I ate at asked me to leave him a Google review. So I did. And now his baby mother is in my DMs.
What?
It gets worse. So then baby mother. So this is what the review said. I'm going to read out the review and you lot tell me if this is crazy. Yeah. This actually made me laugh last night. So the review says, the food was amazing and the service was even better. Our waiter, Meek, provided exceptional service and we will be returning because of him.
Pretty standard review.
Yeah, because they were being nice. Mm. So then the baby mother DMs her so she saw the review, found her on Instagram.
I wouldn't be surprised because whenever I write a review, my whole government name is there.
DM'd her and she goes, don't know who you are, but since you think flirting with my baby father while he's at work is cute, you can have his hoe ass.
From a review. That was such a lovely review. Now I think I have to think twice about writing reviews about people. That's so weird.
I just thought about it. And then she wrote a reply back, but whatever. Like, she was just like, I was flirting with him, whatever, move on, blah, 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 just to piss her off. But the point is, like, Ooh, child, like, how crazy can you be that you're upset that your man is getting a Google review,
like five stars,
at the restaurant that he works at? He could own the restaurant. We don't even know.
She should be happy. Imagine Google reviews amounted to, like, really high tips. Child money is going towards your baby's milk. Like, be happy. Oh, what the hell?
God. I was just thinking last night, like, what is the craziest thing you've done? Like, in my mind, I was like, I would never think of that.
No, that's really strange.
That man lives rent-free in her head. For her to, just deep coltorn, she went on his restaurant's reviews just to spy on him.
No, that's, she creepy. Sounds really crazy. She probably is the type of person to get pissed off because he goes to work every day, leaving her alone or something. Do you know what I mean? She probably sits there, like, plotting and scheming.
No, I was like, that is a madness that I've never seen before. Google reviews. So she surpassed the Instagram comments.
So she's found this woman based on a Google review that she wrote about her baby daddy, then proceeded to send her an Instagram message cussing her for talking about the baby daddy in the Google review. Meanwhile, she's not said anything wrong.
No.
So she wasn't flirting with him.
No, she literally did the review that I read out to you guys, saying it was exceptional food and he was a great waiter.
A review you'd write for anyone. Who,
but you know
you
what
a great
scares
service.
Me? You know what really scares me? Is that she's generally reviewing that page, that Google review page on that restaurant regularly to be able to see that review.
So she's probably checks her waiting. She's probably waiting to see if anyone else name drops her baby daddy. So she might be going after all of them.
I'm just saying, but how do you know? Is there only one waiter in this place?
Do you reckon she goes after the review if it's a bad review about her baby daddy?
Bitch, why are you saying about my... This has made me laugh. I was like, there's crazies and then there's crazy.
That's crazy.
So, I, 27 male, met a girl, 27 female, who used to bully me when we were little. Now she's asking me out and I don't know what to do. So I am a 27 male, was heavily bullied since the beginning of kindergarten. Oh my God. Until the end of middle school. Isn't that like...
That's really sad.
Isn't that like reception?
Isn't kindergarten nursery?
No, it's reception. Yeah, so it's reception.
So wait, he was bullied from the age of five until
middle school, which I'm assuming is
10.
So I, 27 male, heavily bullied since the beginning of kindergarten until the end of middle school when I transferred to a different town. My classroom had 15 children, me excluded. Out of those 15, seven of them used to bully me constantly, and the other eight simply ignored what was happening. Out of the seven bullies, four did some particularly heavy shit. I will call them B group. You can guess what B stands for, bullies. Okay. Mm-mm. What the other three did was some random lighter things, like throwing paper scraps at me, stealing pencils, things like that. I will call them C team, or acted as followers for the B team. What the B team did to me scarred me for life, and I had to go to therapy to deal with it. If I met them today, I would make them pay for everything they did to me. My hatred for the C team is not as nearly as big, but it's still vivid.
I want to know what the B team did.
The B team are reminding me of that Korean show called The Glory.
No, I'm thinking much darker thoughts.
I'm thinking, have you watched The Glory?
I'm thinking about, you know, that case of the 10-year-old that, like, raised the age of criminal culpability for children. Do you remember that case?
Mm-mm.
John, no, something.
Oh my God.
And they killed him.
I don't know. No. Let's wait. Right. So until last year, I couldn't bring myself to forgive anybody in that classroom, both teachers and students, for doing nothing to help me when the B team was tormenting me. Last year, though, my hatred started to fade following some serious events in my life, which I won't share. When I transferred, I swore to myself I would never go back to that town or talk to any of them ever again. Despite that, my past has found ways to follow me. I work in a pub, not sure if this is the right term in English, part-time twice a week around 6 months ago, I met Nina, 27 female, there by chance. Nina was one of the three bullies of the C team. Okay.
Okay, so not the bad.
She's not the bad, but she's still a bully. And while I have forgiven them now, it doesn't mean I want to do anything with her. So I tried to stay professional and act as if nothing was wrong. Mm-mm. Anyway, physically, she hasn't changed much. I mean, she's grown up since middle school, obviously, but I could still recognize her. I'm not sure if I made myself clear. The same cannot be said for me, probably. In middle school, I was fat, white like snow, and I had light brown hair. While now I'm fit, my skin's a bit pink, and my hair has darkened in the last few years. Do you know why that reminds me of? When, like, white people ask each other, what are you into? And then they say tall, dark, and handsome. What they really mean is...
And we didn't know what tall, dark, and handsome was for the long time. No. I thought it was referring to black men.
Me too. But what they really mean is...
Dark hair.
Pink skin. Like a tan skin.
Like olive.
You know, another thing that I thought of the other day. You know, like when people say, when guys say, I'm into blondes or brunettes.
Yeah.
They're referencing white women.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't that weird?
I thought that was quite obvious.
No.
What did you think? They're referencing black women?
No, I just thought like...
You think white men are referencing black women when they say I'm into brunettes?
No, but I just thought like it was just hair colour, but I realised they actually just mean white women.
No.
With brown hair and blonde hair.
They're thinking of the dominant race, darling.
I wouldn't say white people are dominant. Apparently in the year 2050... biracial people are going to be dying. What do you call it? Racially ambiguous.
Ambiguous. People. The Mariah Careys of the world.
Exactly. Are going to be majority. Dominant. Right. I digress. Let me go back. Right. Anyway, the same cannot be said for me. So he said that he is a bit more pink and my hair has darkened the last few years. When some of my friends look at my old photos, they struggle to recognize me. We don't talk much as I was working and she initially didn't recognize me. But when one of my colleagues called me to ask me something, she connected the dots. He goes, I have a particular name that is rare in our country and it's really old fashioned and nobody uses it anymore. Imagine being called Aristotle today. Let's give an example. Once she recognized me, her demeanor changed drastically and she got out pretty soon. She came back a couple of times in the following months and she was quite shy towards me whenever we interacted. A few weeks ago, she got mildly drunk and she started sobbing, ranting about what a crappy person she was in the past and how her life is shit. It was the classic drunken rambling that I didn't pay attention to. I simply stopped serving her alcohol and gave her some water. But at some point, she grabbed my hand. And while I was taking away one of the empty glasses, she apologized.
Oh, that's nice.
I have to say, it felt weirdly good. She didn't come back in the following weeks, but a few days ago, she texted me on social media, apologizing profusely for whatever she did while she was drunk. And she suddenly asked me out. At the time, I was evidently too stupid or tired to understand the clues and didn't understand it meant as a date. She asked me out for coffee and I thought she simply wanted to apologize in person or talk about the past in a more sober state. I realized my mistake yesterday when I talked about it with a friend. Now I'm torn on what I should do. On one side, what Nina did in the past has conditioned me greatly and I can't simply forget about it. On the other, she really looks apologetic and she seems to have changed. It's been 15 years and maybe I should give her a chance. I'm just thinking, how would you deal with that if your bully asked you out? I would just take it as a compliment and just ignore it, I'll be honest, or reject them.
Well, given the fact that, you know, in her drunken state has taken accountability and apologised, and then continued to apologise profusely the following day when she was sober, I think he can let that one go.
As in go on a date with her?
No, not saying go on a date with her.
As in like let it go?
Accept the apology and move on. I think he should be going on a date with her because he's going to constantly be reminded of kindergarten Aristotle, how he felt being the chubby, pink, light brown haired kid. And what these people did to him.
So. And imagine she's still friends with those old people.
Exactly. Could
she
be
brings
very
them
awkward.
Along. Trigger warning.
Yeah.
Could just remind him of everything the B group did.
Well, at least she was in the C group, but I mean, it might even bring up trauma from the B group. And also, he's been to therapy for this.
Yeah, like, you don't want to do that.
He's been through a lot to forget, well, not forget, but just heal from the situation before. So I don't think he should go on a date with her.
No, I just think he should take the high road and be...
Yeah, just let her down gently.
But yeah, basically, she was just feeling a bit frazzled. You know, another thing that I really enjoy, especially in movies, when like a character leaves their old town and they come back like rejuvenated and they've got this amazing career behind them, and then they basically just shit on all the people that made them feel
what
like
TV
shit.
Show are you thinking of?
Sweet Home Alabama.
That was a great film. I really like that film. What was I going to say? Another reason that she could be asking him out is to further absolve herself from the guilt she's feeling. Because she might, you know, she might be one of those people that is doing the most. Like, right, I've apologised. I kind of find him a little bit attractive. Maybe he'll further forgive me if I go on a date with him. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
She could just be trying to get that guilt out, so...
Yeah, I just don't think it's uncharted waters. Don't even do that to yourself.
Yeah,
literally.
She just doesn't seem like she's, you know, of sound mind right now.
And she seems drunk all the time.
Yeah, like it just doesn't seem... I don't know, I'm not saying it's disingenuine. I think the apologising bit was very genuine.
Mm.
But I think this extra step of like wanting to go out with him seems a little bit like you're doing the most.
Yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. No, I genuinely do believe. Accept the apology and leave it.
Imagine going out with your bully.
Oh, God. Every time I argue with them, I'll just remember it. I'll be triggered by it.
I just would want to jump over the table.
Like, they ruined
them.
Your childhood.
Do you know what I mean? Every time I get an intrusive thought, I'll do, you know, KD in Mean Girls, where she jumps over the table.
Yeah. And like, she's just watching her for a minute.
Yeah, yeah. And then all of a sudden
she
leaves.
An animal. Yeah, that's what I would do.
That, like, the shade down would come over me.
Because you'd just be triggered by...
Imagine, like, you're just talking to them and then you see a smirk she does that reminds you of a smirk she did once she bullied. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
my God, I'll be like... Fight you. Literally. Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Or, like, a little laugh. That reminds you, like, in the back of your mind. You you're like, you to a memory.
Literally. Of when they put your face down the toilet. Oh my god.
No, we can't. Sorry.
No, but he said really bad bullying.
Oh, God.
Guys, if you watch Glory, that Korean show, it's actually really horrible what they do. And it's real life.
Why does that sound familiar? I feel like I've read the description for it.
Yeah, it's really scary. They burned her with a straightener.
No.
And it's a real life story.
Was it like a third degree burn?
It's permanent on her body for life.
Whereabouts in her body?
Everywhere. Her arms. She can't even wear dresses, Colton.
Oh, no.
It's really horrible.
I saw the description for that show. I saw it and I said, I'm going to save this one. Mm,
I really think you should watch it. But yeah, it just really triggers me and reminds me of that. Especially when it's like, when children are the evilest people ever. You know,
they really are.
Especially when they come in groups and packs.
Like
they have
no foresight. They just think, right, I'm going to taunt this person because I don't like them. But doesn't think about the consequences.
So then...
Imagine there are bullies roaming.
Around
the streets of London right now.
Literally.
Actual bullies.
Literally.
It might be, you know, passive aggressive bullying via email in the workplace. It might be an actual playground bully, some massive guy that just likes to pick on little kids. They're just everywhere.
You know the worst bullying?
Wolves in sheep's clothing.
Literally. You know the worst bullying for me is psychological bullying. Like, imagine, like, you're in a group.
Oh, the emotional abuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Or, like, you know, those, like, bullies that going off the whole emotional abuse one, you know, those partners that just say horrible things to bring you down. Like,
you've gained a few.
Have I? That dress is
me?
Looking very ugly on you. You should go and change.
I think you should stop wearing makeup. You're not doing it right. By the way, your makeup looks very beautiful today.
Thank you,
Jo. That was my my way to slide in.
It was so funny. Or what's the other one? The financial abuse, the financial bullying. So, for example, he'll say something along the lines of, you need to transfer all your money over to me.
No, they do it subtly, though.
They'll take control of the bank cards. And then they'll put everything in there. So basically, they'll say
I'm paying for all the bills.
You know, they'll say, let's create a joint account. Therefore, everything you earn then straight away goes into the joint account. And then they'll say, can't take that out. Or they'll try and get control of the joint account.
Or they give you, a grown 30-year-old woman,
An allowance.
Kill me now.
Monica,
socially, I've gone to university. I've got a 2-1. I got myself a nice corporate job.
I got myself a British passport.
In this Queen's country.
And you're telling me I have to have an allowance.
£100 allowance a month for you, thou shag. Go tell your mum, innit? No woman should ever listen to that. Honestly, it's the sly ones that say, oh, babe, we need to save for the future. Oh, babe, like, I feel like you're quite careless with money. Whatever I do with my money is my money.
Business.
Look at us, hasn't it?
Bullies everywhere.
Honestly.
Hiding in plain sight.
Even at the job, even at work.
Mm. Honestly. So if you're a bully, I want you to look inwards. Look inwards and ask yourself, am I a bully?
They need to have. A bully honestly needs to go to a retreat and do ayahuasca.
Ayahuasca. They need to have a psychedelic experience. They need to relinquish themselves from all the toxic energy.
And if that doesn't work, Quran Sar is the next one. That should be the first one. Then they can do ayahuasca.
If Quran Sar does not work, which I think it will.
Quran works for everything.
Right. However, if that doesn't work, which I'm sure will, ayahuasca.
Wallahi. Or billahi, nothing else.
Go to Machu Picchu.
Literally. I would actually love to do ayahuasca, but I feel like it's haram.
Yeah, I don't. It doesn't sound very.
It's a drug, no?
Islam friendly. Yeah, so it's like herbs, like
it's mushrooms,
herbs from the ground, mushrooms, things like that.
Surely that's not a drug,
and isn't it a drink? Weed they is create a drug, it. Though. They, I think, they create a drink out of it, and then you drink it, and then you start having all these things.
You know,
happen.
Psychedelics. You know what else is a psychedelic? LSD.
Mm.
So yeah, it must be haram then.
No, it's got to be. Yeah. But it's not classed in the ABC. But then that's not what makes it haram. We've just got to ask a scholar, don't we?
It's anything that alters your brain.
Your brain, yeah.
That's scary. Anyway.
So you know how I despise P. Diddy?
Oh, ever since. Oh, my God. I opened up these can of worms.
No. So
and what, I wish I closed them for you because you've gone down a dark hole.
So what P. Diddy supposedly does... is
Puff Daddy.
Yeah, Puff Daddy. He used to go and find artists. So he used to be the record execs person that goes and finds...
He's an A&R.
Yeah, goes and finds the up-and-coming artists. Now, when they get signed to the label, they might have one hit song and then, for example, something goes on behind the scenes, which I won't say because it's just a very weird environment. And then he'll discard said artist. And then basically what happens is that artist will be like in a lot of debt and stuff like that. Yeah, because obviously they've incurred loads of charges having recorded songs and new studios, which have obviously
and
been
provided.
And
the songs haven't been put out.
So that, yeah, sometimes their songs aren't put out. Anyway, P. Diddy is known to be a bit of a bully in the industry. A lot of people are fearful of him. Because, you know, so this is what I've gathered from like the digging that I've done in the last few weeks.
From Jaguar,
right. Anyway, the moral of the story is don't go around bullying people because the person that you bullied is going to come back into your life. And when they do, you're going to be older, wiser, more mature, and you will feel a deep sense of shame. Oh my God, you know what just came to my mind?
What?
Shukri.
Oh,
grant her Jannah, Ameen. That just came into my mind.
Oh, they're so evil.
They were just horrible.
Wallahi, kids are animals.
Shukri, she was like she's like,
well, she couldn't
sister.
Even swim. And you know what makes me think? Like, imagine she's actually in the water and she's like, help me, help me. And they're just
I can see it happening. You know what it is? I can, you know, when you can see the event in your mind, they probably led her to the place, told her to get in the water.
They got in with
her. Hold your head down underneath. Some stupidness, do you know what I mean? That just escalated and got worse.
And they just watched her. It's so sad.
And she was new in the country. She didn't really know anyone. Oh, that really hurts my soul.
My Lord, have mercy on her.
Was there ever justice for Shukri?
No, they said it was accidental death.
How old were those kids?
Like 13.
Were they over the age of 11?
Yeah, that was like 13, 12.
So they could have gone to jail.
Yeah, but you know, the Midlands Police, Yorkshire Police.
They don't care about a Somali girl.
No. There's they don't even care about, what's her name? That woman that was found in the river the other day. What was she called?
Was it the one that was local, that lived locally to us? There was a Somali girl that was found in Dover. Was it Dover?
You are?
There was a girl, a Somali girl from Feltham.
You are?
No one knows how she got from Feltham to Dover. They discovered her body.
On the beach?
On the beach.
No way.
Yeah. She's a local girl.
Subhanallah.
May
Allah have mercy on her. I mean, there's so many like young black people going missing as well.
Mysteriously.
And a lot of them end up in Essex. Presumed to have committed themselves. Yeah. Trigger warning. But it's all quite suspicious. Guys, three things I'm going to say. Yeah. Always send your location to someone. I always do that. No matter where I am, if I'm in a cab, that's my biggest fear, to be kidnapped in a cab, by the way. And my second thing is, can we please all learn how to swim? And my third thing is, can we carry rape alarms? Because I just think that's the biggest thing we can do right now.
I think there needs to be a huge boom in the market of female protection products. Do you remember that police officer that just went around?
There was loads of them that have been found out to be doing that.
Yeah, there was like a whole list
There's
of them.
There's an inquiry coming.
Surviving the Metropolitan Police.
You can't trust them. Imagine that woman that died. What's she called? Sarah?
Sarah Everard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, up to her.
Who was the new guy? The one that recently got convicted?
I don't know. But that police officer came up to Sarah, showed her his badge and said, you need to come with me. You're being arrested because of COVID violations.
Yeah.
Restrictions to not be going
out. I know. I saw it's an abuse of power. So this one was David Carrick. He was a serial rapist.
Oh my God.
Carried out 85 serious offences over 17 years, despite force being told repeatedly of allegations. So the force knew.
Metropolitan Police are aware. This is mad.
They ignored 8 warnings about PC David Carrick's abusive behaviour, leading Downing Street to warn faith in the police has been shattered, and the force's new commissioner to say the leadership should have been more determined to root out such a misogynist. I'm sorry, 8 counts.
Wait, so they've let him?
They let him carry on.
And he...
Yeah, for a very long time. Until they finally caught him. Oh my God. She claimed that he restrained her with his police issue handcuffs.
Trigger warning.
And boasted that he was a powerful man who guarded the Prime Minister. The woman said he coerced her into staying in the relationship by convincing her he would plant drugs in her car, threatening, who are you going to believe?
Imagine that abuse of power. Imagine how scared she must have been.
That's really scary. No action was taken with the woman either, refusing to formally complain or withdrawing their cooperation from the police investigation.
Let me tell you something. Remember that episode of Charmed where they went to Valhalla and it was just women? I wish we had that. And all the men was like their trained soldiers that they controlled.
Is it what Vikings believe when they die they go to Valhalla?
They had to go Valhalla, but the episode...
Oh, it was like twisted.
Yeah.
So the women were in charge.
Exactly. That's what we need.
Moving on to scenario number 2. So this one is a confession. And her confession is, I think I'm in love with my cousin. He's 22, almost 23, and I'm 20. He and I haven't really spent much time together. Growing up, he lived in the city and I grew up on the coast and in the Bay Area. I only really know him in that I know he likes video games that I also like, and he likes the same kind of TV content as I do. I also know he and I are basically at the same stage in our lives where we don't want to depend on our parents anymore. We have plans to spend a week together this coming summer so we can celebrate his graduation. Over the past week, we've also talked about how we want to start doing care packages and sending them to each other as a way of getting through life as adults. We didn't have a lot of time alone to talk, so I don't know what he thinks of me, but I know for sure that he cares about me because when I have a mental freak out, he's there for me until I've calmed down.
To say.
I would never make the first move, but part of me hopes when I visit him next summer that he pushes me against a wall and just makes me his.
Whoa. She's been reading book talk.
I just want to know if my feelings are appropriate or if I should give up waiting for him to be my knight in shining armor.
Okay, I need to know, how close of a cousin are they? Because if it's first cousins, basically siblings, that's awkward. But if it's like your fifth cousin removed, is that really a cousin?
I mean,
where's your fifth cousin? That is not family.
So she sees him every summer, so I'm assuming they're close. Quite close. I think it's her first cousin. She said I'm in love with my cousin. So she didn't say first cousin. Yeah, so what do you think about being in love with your cousin?
Just find it. I don't know.
Apparently marriage between first cousins is legal in 26 US states.
I can imagine that. Mm-mm. It's halal. Mm-mm-mm. So we can't, you know. I would just say it's awkward. Two things are making it awkward for me. That they grew up together and they see each other regularly.
Mm.
Which means they're close, their families know each other. He's probably like grown up with her.
Yeah.
So it's in my mind, I'm thinking, that's awkward.
Think of how many people in our lineage who have gotten together.
And of course.
Despite being cousins.
I get that. But I also think.
And have gone on to have very long. If you grew up with someone. Fulfilling lives.
It's not haram. I'm not.
I didn't say it was haram. But I'm just saying,
if you grow up with someone, I think I would look at them a bit more differently than if I didn't grow up with him. Then
so if I don't. I didn't it grow doesn't up with mention him. That she grew up. She's saying she sees them once every summer. So I'm guessing she spends a bit of time with them every summer.
I think it's honestly.
I think there's nothing wrong with it.
We've been in that situation back in the day when we used to go Malamud. Yeah. You come back the next summer, people have gone into puberty. They're looking a bit different.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And you're like, whoa.
Wow, he's grown up.
MashaAllah.
Wow.
Do you know what I mean? I wouldn't act on it, but it's a... Wow.
Well, the thing is, if you know what it is? I don't think they're Muslim. From everything she said in the scenario, it doesn't sound like there's any, you know what I mean? Inshallahs and stuff like that. There's no indication that she's a Muslim. So, I don't know. I mean, I think this could be new territory for her. She's probably quite scared, thinking, oh my God, I find my cousin attractive.
I think he might like her if he's sending care packages.
Sending care packages and also just being very caring towards her. However, I don't know how this would be received in their community. So in our community, this would be okay. Do you know what I mean? However, I mean, she has to think about the consequences of her actions, how her family would receive this information, how they'd react. She's got to weigh up all of that if she wants to pursue this.
And also, do you think, you know when you haven't had any male attention in a while and one male shows you attention, he's a bit more attentive, a bit more caring. The heart wants what the heart wants.
But also it's a familial connection as well. So there's that element that he's also being very caring because that's his family member. So I don't know.
I would find it very awkward for her to just be like, I'm in love with you. Because that might destroy the relationship. She needs to feel it out, man. She needs to phase it out. See what's going on. See what he says.
I think she needs to see other people.
I think she's got a crush.
She needs to see some other people. She needs to understand.
That's what I'm saying.
Is this just, book talk? She's in her head, in her feelings, read a novel.
Book talk is very deranged. They've got some crazy tropes that people are into, I'm telling you.
But
now.
It's the description, the way she's describing, we both like the same video games and stuff. It's very surface level.
Yeah.
There's no, do you know what I mean? Not that I would want there to be something deep, but it sounds quite superficial.
I agree. I agree. I think it's a mindless little crush. Yeah. And I don't think you should blow up your family to be telling this boy you love him, honestly.
No, don't do that.
That's awkward. I would never tell a man I love him first. That is like, unless he was like on a deathbed and I would never see him again.
Really?
I don't think I would.
Oh.
But maybe that's my toxic trait.
I would never make the first move either, to be honest.
Would you ever, solemnly, without a man telling you that he loves you, say...
No. I mean, if it's
I'm in love with you.
No,
like that,
I would never. But you know, sometimes, though...
Something wrong with you.
Often, you can usually tell when someone likes you. In which case, if you're absolutely certain and don't think there's anything wrong with you, kind of... Because if he hasn't made the first move, it's just like, babes, I know you like me. I know you want me, so just, I'm going to say it for you. don't do that. Guys, do not take my advice. Never make the first move.
I was waiting for her clarity to come into her head.
Gosh.
No, what do you mean?
No, but Harder, there's something wrong with men out there in which they're not approaching women how they used to.
I want the old-fashioned 90s boombox with R&B songs.
Playing out my window.
You love me and I'm the only woman.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't need someone going, oh, I think I might
have. No, it's not even I think. I don't need someone messaging me on Snapchat telling me, I think I might fancy.
What do they even say nowadays? I don't even know.
Hi, how are you?
Do you want to go for a coffee?
They probably don't even say that. They probably say something like, oh, I saw you at that event last night. You looked really nice. Thank you. And then the conversation doesn't go anywhere.
Okay.
Oh, it's awful out there. Oh.
Yeah.
But it's like, what do you even say? Like, back in the day, Harvey, you'd be walking down the street and if a man liked you, he'd stop and talk to you. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I even feel uncomfortable with that sort of scenario now because of how much people use social media. Like I'd be so uncomfortable with a man stopping me in the street. I'd be confused, like what's going on here, because it doesn't happen anymore.
No. Back in the day, it wasn't like so much more texting, it was more like 5-day passes lotioning
on the phone, voice to voice.
Hey Benk, I've done your talking. You wake up, you're running for sixth form, like
you haven't slept, you've got dark marks under your eyes.
But you're happy because you've had a good night.
Oh, God.
You know what I mean? Whereas like now, I could never ever like think messaging someone on Instagram as a form of like getting to know someone, like igatag.
No, it's really awkward.
That's weird.
It's really awkward.
Yeah, anyway.
We need to create something for these people, Harder. We need to be. Have you seen...
A 101 on how to date Islamically. Oh,
no. So have you seen... What's that show on Netflix where it's the auntie and she does
the matchmaking?
We need to be the matchmaking aunties of the Somali community.
Guys, would you trust us?
With your marriage CVs?
We would do this for you. We'd find you a match. But the only issue is, I feel like girls are very much into doing a marriage CV, whereas guys, I don't think not so much. Mm. But you know what? In the religious community, they do CVs. They're like 6'3", Salafi, big beard,
yeah,
good job,
yeah,
finance. And you know what's really used to trigger me a lot? They used to be like, once a... petite Somali woman that speaks Arabic.
Did they actually used to have CVs back in the day? Wow.
A woman that can cook, a woman that wants to move out of the country.
So our preferably CVs, to Doha. Ideally, would be a bit more interactive. There'd be like a little bubble where you can put your photo. There'd be like a likes and dislikes. There'd be like an about me section. And then what you're looking for.
Boom, boom, boom.
Boom, boom, boom. And then me and you, because we've got like the visual, we know. So we can see someone, see another person, and we can be like, right, those two fit together like a jigsaw puzzle.
Exactly. Great. Then you put them, take them to the families.
You've got to look at both their likes and dislikes. If they match, they match.
Exactly. You know what, like the Asian community are so strong. Shall I tell you why? They really put their families' point of views at the forefront. Mm. Whereas I feel like a lot of Somalis don't do that.
So they prioritise education, which is really important. Yeah. And they also prioritise marriage. And they prioritise things that will basically create a nuclear family designed to flourish, which I love. Very old school. It's not even old school. This is what we're supposed to do, but Western individualism has made us think it's old school.
It's not.
It's outdated. Within the dean. It's redundant. I would love to have that kind of auntie in our community.
Yeah. That could just be us. Relaxed, chilled. It's going to be us.
It's going to be us, babe. I see
it. Callie and Harvard.
Matchmaking service. Indian matchmaking, that's what it was called.
African matchmaking. We're not going to just leave it to Somalis. But yeah, let's Muslim get this going. You know us two, yeah? You know us two.
We just have ideas after ideas. Feel free to steal them, guys. Honestly, if you can make it better than us,
do it.
Do it.
You know, just credit us. That's what they're saying. But if we had like a client list of bare CVs from both male and females, female. And we just... So that put them together like Tetris, like boom, boom,
yeah,
boom, boom.
Yeah, so this kind of idea requires a lot of trust from client to
exactly
us.
If two people trust us, send us your CVs. We're going to get you matched. I've already got one in my mind already.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Mm. Anyway, guys, thank you so much for listening to our episode. We love you guys so much. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, download, share.
Oh,
anything else I missed?
That's all, love.
That's it.
Yeah.
Like, comment, subscribe, download, share. Remember those five.
Like, comment, subscribe, download, share. Also, Ramadan Mubarak. If it's Ramadan next, this is it. This week or next week?
It's like this week.
Oh my God, Ramadan Mubarak, guys.
Yeah, Ramadan almost from Mubarak.
So when you're listening to this, it's probably going to be Ramadan. Yeah. And you're probably going to be fasting.
We need to take out all the profanity.
Indeed.
And we just need to make this a Ramadan-friendly episode. Because you know what, Hada?
I'm really trying to be good this Ramadan.
I really want to be good as well.
Anyway, guys, love you guys so much. Bye.
Love you guys.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.